Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to give a talk just before Christmas. I get the privilege of giving a message on Christ. I love preaching. I love teaching. I love sharing the gospel at every level, at every point. I just love to share the gospel. But at the most, I get so excited when I'm sharing Christ. So forgive me if I get a bit excited. I'm not going to do cartwheels or stand on my hands. And I'm not going to go that far. I get absolutely fired up when I'm presenting Christ. So as I calm down a little bit, let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the salvation. We thank you for the love that you came, dwelt among us, and you are dwelling in us now. We thank you for Calvary's tree. We thank you, Lord, that through the blood of Jesus, we are now heirs and joint heirs with Christ in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you give us a new life through Jesus Christ. And this morning, Lord, as we remind and as we share Christ the man, Christ the person, Christ the spirit, and Christ the word and the life, thank you that you quicken within us the awareness and the consciousness, and our relationship with you gets stronger and stronger. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
It was Paul who said, I sought to know nothing else but Christ and him crucified. I'm sharing this morning on Jesus the Christ. The passage we just read, quite interesting passage telling us about the birth of Christ. When I read it, it reminded me as if I knew it was going to happen. Mr. Baza is way down in Southampton this weekend. He went ahead of me on holiday. And when I drove him on Friday, my sister-in-law, there is a family joke, it's in good taste. My sister-in-law, when we arrive, she says, oh, you guys are here, welcome, and so on. And then she looks into my car. She does that all the time. She looks into our car and says, is it the two of you? Don't you have someone else? And then she says, oh, you still haven't found someone. When Jesus was born, it was a family get-together because they had gone up for the census. I don't know whether it's my family, all families. There is always, when there is a family get-together, there is always sort of a family running jokes, or there is always that uncle, that cousin, that aunt who says something or says the other. So I was just giving myself a little bit of a poetic freedom. Do they call it a poetic license? To kind of imagine what it was like when they came together up in, as it were, family gathering. And some were talking, possibly talking about, is she really pregnant? I mean, how is it that she's pregnant without knowing the husband, and what happened there, and so on. People were sort of talking. There was a family issue there. Not only was there a family issue, but there was politics as well. Because when the king Herod heard that there is a king who's been born, it was as though he started getting a little bit agitated. He said, but then, how can a king be born? A king of the Jews has been born, but I'm here. Hence, in the book of Matthew, this story is reported where Herod goes on to say, kill all the within a two-year bracket. Kill all the sons that were born in that period, just in case this king is amongst them. There was also hope for those who do night shifts. I had to find that. There was hope for those who do night shifts as well, because the shepherds were watching the sheep in the night. They were watching the sheep in the night. And there they were, the angel appeared to them and said, in the city of David has been born a king. And oh, how they went and they saw the baby Jesus. And it says they went and told the whole city. So even those who work night shifts can preach, you see. There was sort of a message for everyone there. The religious folk of the day, they would have then have to check, this Christ who's supposed to be born, is he from the correct lineage? Is this the Christ? Is he the one? Isaiah chapter 9, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. This is the Christ, the culmination of love itself. Love in bodily form. Love in human form. This is he of whom all the prophets prophesied about. All the prophets were looking forward to this birth, to the birth of Christ. He is the testator of the new covenant. We heard last week about the testator of the new covenant, which is better and more eternal. You see, the birth of Christ means so much to us. Because in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, they would go, say, every feast would have to be repeated. Because the blood of animals wasn't adequate to give an eternal salvation. Even the blood, say, in the Day of Atonement, they would have to go back and do again. They go back every year. They go back every year. Because the blood of bulls and sheep and goats and doves wasn't adequate to give eternal life. But through the blood of Jesus, we have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. God so loved, he agape the world, which is love that is not conditional, not contingent on what you do or what I do, but it's love that's given before we were even conceived, before we were born. This love is given. He hands it over. He says, there you are. He gave his only begotten Son. For God so loved the world, and the world there is the whole world. For God, Theos, so loved, so agape, the world, the whole universe, that he gave his only begotten Son. This is the culmination of all the prophetic that was happening in the day. Even the prophets from old, they were looking forward to that day. And he loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him. This is what the birth of Christ means. Whosoever believes in him will have eternal life. We enter into eternal life through Christ. There are so many who claim to be messengers of God or to be prophets of God. Those who have claimed to be children or sons of God don't last over 24 hours. But here is a Christ who is a son of God, the child of God. And whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. At the birth of Christ is the beginning of the new dispensation, where we do not have to bring any other sacrifice, but this is the adequate sacrifice. This is the sufficient sacrifice. Hebrews says Christ is the last Adam, not the second, but the last Adam. Sin came by one man, and salvation came by one. Only Christ will open the door to the Lord. Therefore, anything else and everyone else is insufficient, is inadequate. Only Christ. What do we do with the Christ who is born? What do we do with this Savior that is given to us? That we are celebrating Christmas trees everywhere and people going on holidays, enjoying and celebrating merriment. What do we do with this Christ? The Bible says Christ is an example for us. I'm just going to mention three things. He's an example for us. He's a role model. So when we read about Christ, when we study, when we speak about Christ, the Bible implores us to see him as a role model for us to emulate. We emulate his manner. We emulate his character. We emulate his being. 1 John 3 says, for we are being changed into his likeness. Scripture says, let the mind that was in Christ be in you, that he finding it not something to be grasped, equality with God, he humbled himself. Let that mind be in you. So what do we do with the Christ? We emulate him. Paul says to the Corinthians, copy me as I copy Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Take after me as I take after Christ. So when we read about Christ, when we learn about Christ, number one, there is the need for us to emulate him. What he did is what he requires us to do. There are so many things we can learn from how Christ behaved himself, from how Christ came across people. He reached out to those that were down and out. Even among his disciples, he had all sorts. I remember when we went to Cambridge, somebody used a very flamboyant term. I'm not going to use that. But he had all sorts of persons, even within his inner circle. It's like he had the Leavers and the Brexiteers and the Remainers. And he had all of them within his inner circle, all sorts of people. That's a lesson for us, that we do not choose that other people are out of question or other people are unreachable. Sometimes they blamed him for reaching those that were unclean. Sometimes they blamed him when he ate with the tax collector, Zacchaeus, the tax collector. They queried him. They said, but then this man is a tax collector. He's unclean. How can the Christ come into his house? Let's emulate Christ. Let's be Christ-like. When he spoke to the woman that was being accused, he didn't start by talking to her. He started saying to them, he sat down, stooped down, wrote by his hand, whoever has no sin, let him throw the first stone. Let's emulate Christ. Not persecute and prosecute one another. Let's support one another. Christ says, whoever has no sin, let him be the first to accuse. And when they had gone, he didn't leave the woman alone. Said, you go and sin no more. Let this mind that was in Christ be in you. He was approachable. And I like his response when he was tempted. He said, it is written. Let's emulate Christ the way he handled scripture. He said, it is written, thou shalt not worship any other God. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. It is written. He used scripture in the situation. He used scripture appropriately. Let this mind that was in Christ be in you. Let this Christmas remind us that Christ is our role model. Christ is the person we are trying to be. First John says we are being changed into his image. When he appears, we shall be like him. Again, allow me to extend some poetic license. When he appears, we shall be like him, but for now, we are tending towards him gradually, as though Christ is an asymptote. We are tending towards him. And when he appears, we shall be like him. So don't kick yourself too hard when you are not as Christ today. Gradually get changed. Gradually get changed into his image. When he shall appear, we shall be like him. The other thing about Christ, just to remind us this morning, is about his teaching and preaching. Not only is he a role model, but he's a teacher. Christ was the most articulate of teachers and preachers. He would teach right from the Sunday school children. They would come and sit and listen to him teaching. He would confound the teachers of the law. There is none of us who is so great that Christ cannot teach. There is none of us who's too lowly that Christ cannot teach. Paul says the breadth, the height, the depth, and the length of the love of God. There is none of us who cannot be reached by Christ. Christ reaches us exactly where we are. He reaches us at the point where we are. He was articulate and he was accurate with the word. He used examples. You see, as a preacher, as a teacher of the gospel, he didn't just tell stories for stories' sake or just to pass time. To say, well, I've got so much time, what shall I do? Let me create a story. But his stories were focused. His message was themed. And he was teaching Christ, he was teaching the word. And number three, Christ is the Savior. He is the way to God. He is the way for us to reach God. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son. The Christ that we celebrate at Christmas is the gift of God who gives us access to God. The blood of rams and lambs, the blood of goats and sheep, the blood of animals and bulls was not sufficient. But Christ is the Savior. He is the route to access God. Now that we have received Christ, we have the eternal life in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in us gives us hope in glory. I know it's not fashionable to mention heaven, but Christ in us is the doorway to heaven. Christ in us is the access to eternal life. He is our salvation. Matthew chapter 2, as we close, verse 11. And when they were come unto the house, they saw the young child, Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Maybe we could close by just mentioning that part of scripture. That here is the wise man, the Magi. When they had come, there's three steps that they did, which I find absolutely exciting. Verse 11 of Matthew chapter 2 says, the first thing they did was they saw Christ. They saw the Son. The first thing we do when we come to God is to see Christ. He says, I am the door. No one comes to the Father except through me. They first saw the Son. That was the first thing they did. The second thing, they worshipped him. Not only did they see the Son, but they bowed down to worship. So the first thing is to acknowledge Christ. The second thing is to then give him our worship, to give him our heart, to give him ourselves, to surrender to him. Then the third thing is they opened the gifts. That's when they did service. How many times do we want to do service before we see the Christ? How many times do we want to worship before we see the Christ? They saw, they met him first. They worshiped, they gave him their hearts first before they gave the gifts. They gave him what was in them before they gave him what was on their hands. Christ in us, the hope of glory. If this was a tent meeting, you'd then do just as I am and make an altar call of salvation. And I love sharing Christ. I love sharing Christ. I love sharing Christ. Scripture says, he is the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundations of the earth were laid. He said, before Abraham was, I am. In other words, you got Christ, you got Abraham, you got Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God, but he was slain before. As though every step through Scripture was leading to the slain Lamb of God. Even when God created Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, he already had Christ slain. When the patriarchs were walking through, right through Scripture, the Lamb had been slain already. The Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth were laid. I'll pray and hand over back to Mike as we close. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you that you open our eyes, that we will see you as you are. Lord, you open our eyes that we see you for who you are. Not just the Christmas lights, not just the Christmas celebrations and the jumpers and the shirts. But Lord, that we will see you for who you are. The Savior of the world, the Son of God, the slain Lamb of God. Lord, we pray that when we see you for who you are, we will worship you. Touch our hearts, that we will open what is within us, that we open our hearts and give ourselves to you, that we surrender all to you, Lord, without holding anything back, with total and absolute surrender to you, Lord. Help us, Father, that when we've done so, we will give you the gifts that is in our heart and that is in our hand. All that we have is yours, therefore we give it back to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray and bless your name, Lord, as you remind us in our hearts that Jesus is the reason for this season. We pray and glorify your name, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.